Please join me in the prayer for illumination as printed in your bulletin. Open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we, like the shepherds, might hear with joy the good news of Christ's birth for us and for all the world. Through Jesus Christ, your word made flesh. Amen.
Hear now this reading from the Gospel according to Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm glad you all sat down for a second in there. I think it's a lot of standing, so you may be seated. I know that many of you are participating in family traditions tonight and tomorrow. Some of you may be hitting the road in the morning. Others of you hit the road early to get here for Christmas Eve. I'm going to pray safe travels for everyone. When I was growing up, our family tradition was that we would get up on Christmas morning, quickly open presents and see what Santa Claus brought, and then we'd hop into the car and drive to Brownsville, Tennessee, 2.5 hours away, to my grandmother's house to join my aunts and uncles and 26 of my first cousins. It was not a big house. You can imagine the chaos. In those days, we used to draw names, so everybody got one present. And you can imagine, you know, all the presents under the tree. And sometimes it would happen. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but everybody's opened their presents and everything's, you know, paper everywhere. And you look over and there's still one more present under the tree. And nobody remembers who wrapped it and nobody remembers who it's for. And somebody goes over and the tag has fallen off and you just hold it up and say, "Who's this gift for? Who is this gift for?" Well, tonight we hear the story and remember how God gave the greatest gift of all to the world, the gift of God's own self, of God in human form coming to be with us and alongside us. And maybe we ask the question, who is this gift for? Is it really for me? Is it really for all the world? And it depends on how you read this Christmas story, on how you might answer that question. So let's lean in a little bit as we explore the question. Let's go to the town of Bethlehem and travel to the hill country on the outskirts of town and gather around a campfire with some shepherds. They've had a long day. It's nighttime. Some of them may be snoozing. They may be telling stories. And suddenly, out of nowhere, this messenger of God appears, an angel, glowing with the glory of heaven. And they are terrified. They are scared out of their sandals, and they don't know what to do. But very quickly, the angel says, "Don't be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy, which is for all the people." All the people. What does that mean? Who are the people? Does that mean the Jewish people, the chosen people of God? Does that mean everybody? Does that just mean some people? Maybe it might help us to go look at the ancient Greek. Well, the ancient Greek says it is good news for to laos, which literally means all the people. So it doesn't quite answer the question, who is this gift for? So let's go a little further in the story when that one angel is now joined by a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." That's the one that's always tripped me up. That's the translation we heard read just a moment ago. Peace among those whom God favors. How do we read this proclamation? Well, it all boils down to a comma. Where are my grammar geeks at? Okay, some of my grammar geeks just sat up straight. A comma? Let's talk about commas. The rest of you are like, are we really talking about commas on Christmas Eve? Again, when we go back to the ancient Greek, the Koine Greek, there is no punctuation in Greek. All of the New Testament, by the way, all the documents of the New Testament are written in Koine Greek, and there's no punctuation. There are no periods. There are no commas. And so those who are translating the Greek are trying to interpret and figure out what the writer meant. And so what it says in the Greek is, I got to see if I can remember this, peace on earth among anthropois eudokaios. I probably didn't pronounce that right, but it means to humankind whom God favors, to the people whom God favors. So if we don't put a comma in there, it says to the favored ones of God. And so then we have to start thinking about who are God's favorites. If we were to go up and down the street tonight and ask people, who do you think are God's favorites? I wonder how they'd answer that question. Some might say, well, obviously the people who have it all together, the people who are successful, the people who have happy families, who live in a house and have a car or two to drive, the people who have health insurance, the people who don't have to worry about their basic needs, food on the table, paying rent. Those have got to be God's favored ones. Well, especially the rich and the powerful and those who have influence and all the celebrities, well, they've got to be favored by God, right? Or maybe we think to ourselves, God must favor those who obey all the rules, whose lives are pure, who haven't made any mistakes, who've never been through recovery or never been through a divorce or never lost a job. God must favor those who behave well, right? Of course, if we look at Luke's gospel and so many of the scriptures, it seems that if God has a special place in God's heart for anyone, it is the poor and the vulnerable, the widow and the orphan and the immigrant and the lost and the least, the forgotten and invisible ones. God is continually reminding God's people to care for the vulnerable because that is where God's heart is. So we might think those folks are the favored ones. And surely God chose to tell this good news to shepherds who were nobodies, the lowest on the totem pole of Judean life. And God chose Mary and Joseph, who weren't even married yet, and who were being forced to march to Bethlehem because the Roman Empire wanted to count them and tax them. Oppressed poor folk at the heart of this story. So maybe those are the ones that God favors. That's if you read it without a comma. But if you put a comma in there, it reads differently. Peace among all humankind, comma, whom God favors. All humankind in whom God is well pleased. Can you believe that? That God would look upon all humankind with delight and favor and love. That when God looks upon us, God sees in each person a shining, bright soul. God sees God's very image, not all the tarnishing of the ego and all the stuff that we pile on, but God sees God's very self in us and looks upon us with love and delight. I find that hard to believe sometimes. I mean, I look around at the world, I look at my own life, and I see what a terrible mess we can make of things. I see the violence in the world and the damage we've done to the planet and the way that the poor so often are treated among us. And I think, how could God possibly look upon us with love and delight? But I think that's the message of the angel. I don't know about you, but I choose the comma. I choose the Christmas comma. And I think I can speak on behalf of this congregation that we have chosen that comma. One of our bedrock beliefs is God loves everyone unconditionally. That means every person is a child of God. Every person is made in the image of God. Yes, we sin. Yes, we make mistakes. But God never turns God's love away from us. And if we can embrace that comma, if we can truly believe that God loves you and me and everyone unconditionally, then that changes everything. It shapes how we treat one another. It shapes how we think about our enemies or those who might disagree with us. It shapes how we look upon the poor and the invisible and the least in our culture. It shapes how we build the church. It shapes how we build our society if we truly believe that God looks upon each person with favor and love. It makes all the difference in the world, and it changes how we look at ourselves. Perhaps that's the hardest of all for many of us. To believe truly that God looks upon you and you and you and you and you and me with love and delight. So there's a gift waiting for each of us tonight. It has your name on it, and it is God's very self. God giving God's very self to you. And if we can accept that gift and accept that the gift is also given to each and every person we encounter, then I believe it can change everything. I truly believe that to transform this world into the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, God needs a handful of folks who embrace the comma. Thanks be to God.